Michael as he comes.
What a wonderful prayer to start out the message this morning, and ask that you would continue to pray for me. And as Brother David was speaking, I'm certainly thankful for those words of encouragement. And shake and shine, that would be a good sermon title sometime. So we need to shake and shake and shine maybe someday. So as we sang that hymn this morning, The Mercy Seat, there was a verse we didn't sing, but I don't think it's accident that the Lord has brought us that hymn this morning. It's based off the subject that I want to speak on. But the fifth verse of Mercy Seat, it says, there on eagle's wings we soar, and sin and guilt seem there no more. And heaven comes down our souls to greet, and glory crowns the mercy seat. This morning I want to speak on the subject of soaring in the midst of the difficult circumstances of life. And I'd like you to turn with me this morning in Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, we get a wonderful message that I think is extremely applicable to us as God's people today. I would like to say that we lived in a time that was similar to the time of Israel when David was king. When you read the Old Testament and you see how God blessed David as the king of Israel, and it was a great time for the nation as the nation grew, and there seemed to be a real dedication towards the things of God. I'd like to say that we lived in those times today, but as we deal with the circumstances of life, as we see all of the challenges that we're going through, I wonder sometimes if perhaps the environment that we're in today is more similar to the time of Isaiah's lifetime than the time of David's lifetime. During the time of Isaiah, we have the children of Israel had turned away from God in many aspects of their lives. They had disobeyed. They had followed the gods of the peoples around them. They had neglected the worship of God and the commandments of God to the point where God is going to bring judgment upon them. And the book of Isaiah, much of that book is speaking about the coming judgment because of the decisions of that nation. And as we see the history of Israel play out, indeed, the judgment of God does come as the prophets speak of, and they're ultimately carried away into captivity for a period of time. But the wonderful blessing in the midst of all of that is that our God remains true, that the mercies of God transcend the difficulties of life. And I'm thankful to say this morning, in spite of all of the challenges that we have, that our God is still true, that our God is still on His throne, and I'm thankful that we serve a God of great mercy. So in the midst of the judgment of God coming down upon the children of Israel, we have Isaiah chapter 40 in there that's a chapter of comfort for God's people in the midst of troublesome times, in the midst of stressful times. And I'm thankful to say that even when we make a mess of things, our God is still merciful and our God is still faithful. And that's really, really the theme of Isaiah chapter 40. But, we are living in a time of great difficulty. I don't think I'm shocking anybody by saying that. But I want to encourage you this morning that our God is still on His throne in the midst of everything that's going on. And as God's people, we have to continually remind ourselves of that and not be overwhelmed by all of the circumstances around us. If we start just looking at the difficulties that surround us and we just fill our minds and fill our hearts with the challenges of life, we are going to struggle greatly in this world. Well, we've learned a lot over the last decade or so about trauma and how trauma affects individuals, and basically people that go through repeated traumatic events, those events have the propensity to affect them where they're constantly in this heightened state of emotional turmoil, and it's hard to function in that area. It's hard to make good decisions. It affects your health, it affects your well-being, and I'm thankful to say that we have from God's Word a place where we can look in the midst of those times, where we don't have to constantly be in that heightened state of stress and distress, we can trust in our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I liken us to one of the cats that we have at home. Some of y'all got to meet one of my cats on the Wednesday night broadcast a few weeks ago when she decided to jump up on my lap and then jump up on my shoulder. Well, we have two cats, and our first cat, he's really chill all the time pretty much. But I got up one morning, and we had one cat for a period of time, but I got up one morning and there was a second cat in our house, and she was sitting up in my recliner when I got up and got ready to go to work. This cat has apparently seen some things, because this cat is constantly on that state of high alert. She's either sleeping or her eyes are this big. She's always, always agitated, always in some sort of distress, always looking like and acting like something's going to get her. If we're not careful, we can get that way in this world. You know, we can get wide-eyed. We can be on that constant state of red alert. And as God's people, I want you to understand from His Word that in the midst of trials and tribulations, we can have comfort. And Isaiah chapter 40 is that chapter that comforts God's people in the midst of great distress. I want us to look at the latter part of Isaiah chapter 40 as Isaiah is concluding these words to the children of God. He reminds them of why they can have comfort and how they can have peace in the midst of difficult times. So Isaiah chapter 40, starting at verse 28, the prophet says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding." Verse 29, it says, "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not be faint." Aren't you thankful this morning, my friends, that we serve a God that never grows weary? He never tires. He's never perplexed by the circumstances that happen in this world. We can get weary. We can get tired. We can get perplexed. I grow more and more perplexed in the days that we're living in. But I'm thankful that none of those afflictions affect our God. And I'm thankful that that's the hope that we have. And again, with the children of Israel, they had disobeyed God. They were suffering the consequences of the decisions that they made. But Isaiah, in the midst of all that, reminds them that they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. So the difficulties and trials and the tribulations are real. But I'm thankful that we serve a great God that transcends them all and gives us grace in the midst of whatever we're enduring here in this world. Now in Isaiah chapter 40, it's interesting. We really have two persons that are mentioned here. First of all, we see that God is mentioned here. And I'm thankful for what Isaiah says about our God when he calls out that question, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary?" He reminds us of our omnipotent, all-knowing, all-powerful, sovereign God. Now that's message number one. In the times of great difficulties, in the times of tribulation, we serve the God that's sovereign. We serve the God that's on His throne. And though it seems that things around us may be overwhelming, nothing has caught our God by surprise. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? And it's almost like Isaiah is shouting this out as he's writing to the children of Israel as they're struggling. He asks the question, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard?" What he's saying there is, remember the God that we serve. He is the everlasting God. He is the beginning and the end. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And it says He is the Lord. He's the ruler over all. He's the King of Kings. And he's the one that's the creator of the ends of the earth. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? You know, I'm thankful that we do not adhere to the false notion that we're just a product of a bunch of accidents that happened. And here we are, that we worship the one who spoke this world into existence. And all my friends, there's the struggle with sin and death in this world, but the Creator God, he's the one that's on his throne. He's the one that's immortal. He's the one that's glorious, and I'm thankful there's no other like him. That's the God that we serve. Now, the other character we have in here is the rest of us. And he goes on, and he says in verse 29... He says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You wonder why you struggle here in this world. You wonder why the difficulties of this world sometimes seem like they're going to overwhelm you, and you react out of emotion, you react out of fear. It's because we fall in that other category. We are those that faint. And we are those that in and of ourselves have no might. But I'm thankful here that the primary character that we have here is the God over all. But I want you to understand that the trials and tribulations of this world are real. And I want you to understand Satan, he uses those difficulties, he uses the calamity, he uses the chaos to try to throw stumbling blocks before us as God's people. So what we have to realize, in the midst of great difficulties, Satan will try to wrest the difficulties of this life to his advantage so that we will take our eyes off of God. And he does that. He preys upon the weak. It reminds me of during the time of Moses. And remember Amalek, King Amalek, he would send out his soldiers and he would attack those that were faint and weary, that brought up the rear as the children of Israel were wandering throughout the wilderness. Satan does the same thing. He tries to weary us with the challenges of this world. He tries to chip away at our resolve as God's people. And he has done that with some success throughout the ages, or he wouldn't keep doing it. But Isaiah reminds us that we serve the God who is not faint. We serve the God who is not weary. We serve the God that's able to bless us and gives us the strength to make it through the difficulties of this life. Gives us what we need to soar above the challenges that come in this world. Now as we go on in the book of Isaiah, it gives three illustrations here of the wonderful blessings that we enjoy is God's people. When we trust in the Lord, when we live our lives in such a way where we acknowledge that He is the Lord, that He is the ruler over all. He says in verse 31, he says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And then notice what he says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Those are the wonderful blessings that we have when we obey the God of the Bible. We can soar as eagles. We can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. And I believe that speaks to most of our circumstances in life. First of all, he uses the example of the eagle as the blessings of God upon those that trust in him. Have you ever studied eagles a little bit? I had the amazing privilege when I lived up in Indiana. I had an office that was right next to a river up there, and right out the window of my office there was an eagle's nest. It was on the river, and so I being easily distracted as I am, I spent a lot of time watching those eagles. They're incredible creatures. And the Bible uses the example of an eagle in other places to teach a spiritual lesson. Now, here's one of the interesting things about eagles. Eagles don't cower in fear in the midst of storms. In fact, they love the storms that come in life. Well, why is that? Because the eagles will soar above the storms of life. And they're fascinating creatures. What they like to do is, the storms are raging, they fly above the storm and the turbulence and the difficulties of the storm, they allow the eagles to fly higher. And if you want an illustration for us as God's people today, in the midst of the storms that we're going through now, isn't it a blessing to know that we're able to fly above the storms and glorify God even in the most difficult and even in the most dark times? Now, I'm not asking for storms to come in life, but I'm thankful by the Word of God, we understand that we can soar on eagle's wings above the storms, and even in the midst of storms, we can glorify God. Yeah. And Satan, he tries to distract us from that truth. Satan tries to tell us that when difficulties come, you know, we just need to turn away from God. We need, you know, it's just proof that God is not concerned about our well-being. But what we see from God's Word, it says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. The eagle flies above the storm, and the eagle uses the storm in a way to benefit him. Well, my friends, what are we to do in the storms of life today? Well, we're to glorify God in the midst of the storms. We like to wait for the storms to pass, and we'll say, well, when I get through this season of life, then I'll be faithful to God. I'll wait till I'm financially secure. I'll wait till I'm old enough, or, well, I've waited too long. I'm too old now, or I'm going to wait till everything is just right. No, the Word of God teaches us that by God's grace, we can mount up with eagle's wings and soar above the storms of life. You know, the eagle is most majestic as he's rising above the storms. And with the eagle, the faster that those winds blow, the higher the eagle rises, and the higher he's able to do what he was created to do. And I think we as God's people, we have been blessed by the Spirit of God to glorify Him in the midst of the storms of this life. And again, it's easy to look at our circumstances and think, well, all hope is lost. What can one person do? What can a handful of people do in the midst of a majority that seems to be turning away from the things of God? We can soar and glorify God. God can bless us in the midst of storms. Yeah, that's right. It says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Well, storms are challenging, aren't they? I'm not minimizing any difficulties or any challenges, but I want to tell you that the grace of God is able to bless us to rise up above the storms of life. So we see the eagle as an example of soaring above the storms. Now, I want you to understand as well, also what we understand as we look upon this passage of Scripture is that God gives us the grace to run the race that's set before us in the midst of difficulties and obstacles. Not only does he say they shall mount up with wings as eagles, but he says they shall run and not be weary. You know, if you're not suffering through the storms of life, doesn't the hustle and bustle of everyday life, does it not pose its challenges? Yes. You know, the busyness of life. I marvel every time I stop and think about it. We live in the so-called age of convenience. Every year that goes by, there's some new technological device. There's some new advancement that's supposed to make our lives easier, make our lives more efficient, to give us more time, to give us extra time to devote to the important things of life. But it just seems like things get more and more rushed. You know, we become more and more consumed, it seems, by technology and by the inventions of man. And I think all of us, wherever we are in our lives, we'll say from time to time, well, there's just not enough time to get everything done. And we get harried, we get rushed, we get impatient. That brings stress and calamity in our lives. No, everybody can't be as patient as I am, I'm sorry. No, I can grow very impatient in the hustle and bustle in life and become reactionary in my home, reactionary at work. But I want you to see from God's Word, He says here to the children of Israel, and He says to us, He says, they shall run and not be weary. Here's what I want to encourage you. The things that we need to be running in are the things concerning God and His Word. I think what we do is we run towards the wrong things. We run based off of emotions, based off of reactions to things that are going on in our world. We run after things that don't really matter in life, pursuing the things of the world, the material things of the world. My friends, what he's saying here is they shall run and not be weary. He's talking about running after things that are commanded by God, that are pleasing to God. And we need to understand when you know, a lot of times when we find ourselves busy and harried, it's because we're focusing on the things that God doesn't put a focus on. Yeah. But there is a time when we should be doing some running. I always think in the book of Acts, I believe in Acts chapter 8, where you have Philip, he's going to, we know what's going to happen. He's going to go and share with the eunuch the things concerning the book of Isaiah that the eunuch didn't understand, but prior to that, the Spirit said to Philip to go and join himself to this chariot where the eunuch was. Now, Philip, he was one of the closest followers of Jesus Christ during that time. You know, Philip didn't say, "Well, I've got a lot of other things going on right now, Spirit. I've got plans. I've already have my itinerary set out." No, we see Philip in Acts chapter 8, when the Spirit tells him to go and join himself to the eunuch's chariot, it says that Philip did this. It says, Philip ran thither to him, and then he says he read the prophet Esaias. And then he said, "Understandest that what thou readest?" Philip ran. I think that we need to make sure that in our lives we're prioritizing the things of God and running after them. If we're too busy to obey the commandments of God, and a lot of times we think ourselves too busy to even obey the most basic commandments that God has given us, we're probably too busy focusing on things that, in the big scheme of things, aren't what's most important. The Spirit said to Philip to go, and Philip ran. Our Lord gives us the strength to run and be not weary. If we're running and we're weary and we feel like that we're like the hamster on the hamster wheel, I think it does us well to assess what we're doing. Because here's the wonderful blessing. When we busy ourselves in the things of God, I believe that He blesses us by the Spirit in a supernatural way to do above and beyond what we think we can do, what we have the physical ability to do, and bless us with fulfillment, and bless us with joy, and bless us with peace in the midst of it. Because He's the one that says, they shall run and not be weary. We're to be running as God's people, running towards the things that God commands us to do, running away from the temptations of this world, running away from the fiery darts of the enemy. He says to run, soar and to run. And then he says this, to walk. The older I get, the more I appreciate a good walk. When you're young, you're in a hurry. You want to go here, want to go there, want to get everything done. The older you get, you start appreciating the benefit and the blessings of a walk. And now he says, they shall run and be not weary. And then he says, they shall walk and not faint. What I think the Word of God is speaking of here is just the day-to-day activities of our lives. Yeah. The day-to-day discipleship that we're called to be a part of as God's people. And it is important for us as the Lord's people in the routines of life to honor God. To honor God as we start our mornings. How many times do we forget just to thank God for the good night's rest that He gave us? To thank God for protecting us during the night. You know, there's a large portion of the rest of our world that can't close their eyes and go to sleep without fear of someone breaking into their home or breaking into their tents and doing harm to them or doing harm to their family. You know, the day-to-day routines, being thankful to God. As you're living your life, as you're doing your job, as you're loving your spouse and your children, loving them in a way that's pleasing to God. That's the walking aspect of discipleship. And I'll submit unto you that it's those routines in life that we probably fail at more than anything else. You know, human nature likes the excitement and likes the action, likes the big things that go on in life. But I'm thankful our God gives us the strength when we obey Him that we can walk and be not faint. We can soar like the eagle. We can run like the athlete. But I'm thankful that we're called to walk as well. And we need to be faithful day by day in the little things and serving God. I appreciate it, Brother David. I appreciate you mentioning just that blessing of God in that part of our community. You know, our God is the God of great things, but our God is also the God of day-to-day activities. And I believe that's where our lights can shine the most. I believe that's the greatest way we can shake and shine as God's people in the day-to-day activities. Amen. How we interact with our spouse. How we deal with the stresses that come at work. How we prioritize our time during the week and give time to the Lord in prayer and dedicate time to constantly and consistently attend to the worship of the Lord. Our Lord gives us that strength. I was thinking just the other day as I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy chapter 33, we have the children of Israel. They're preparing to take the inheritance that God has given them, and Moses is speaking blessings upon the children of Israel, and he gives this unique blessing to Asher. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, he says in verse 24, it says, "And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children, let him be acceptable to his brethren. And let him dip his foot in oil." He says, "Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be." Now that sounds unusual just reading it, that his foot would be dipped in oil, that his shoes would be iron and brass. What he was talking about was his prayer for Asher was that they would be successful in honoring God in the day-to-day routines of life. You know, why would their foot need to be dipped in oil? Well, to endure the day-to-day walking that happens in living life. Why would they need iron and brass shoes to endure just the challenges that come on a day-by-day basis? And we need that day by day as God's people. We need to pray that. God, bless me this day. We need to follow the Lord's prayer, or probably more appropriately the disciples' prayer, and pray unto the Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And that's an acceptable prayer, and we can trust that God is able to bless us and give us the strength to walk and not faint. For there is a lot in this world that could cause us to faint. But our God's able to bless us just in the day-to-day routines of life. God provides, doesn't He? In times of adversity, He gives us the strength to soar like the eagle. In times of opportunity to honor Him and serve Him, He can give us the strength to run like an Olympic runner. And in the times just of the day-to-day activities of life, He can give us the strength to endure walking day by day. What a wonderful God we serve. Yeah. And the promise, just going back to Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, he says, "But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength." That's the key, my friends. That's the due part that we're called to engage in as God's people. We're to wait on Him. What does that mean? That means that God will bless us when we wait on Him. What does it mean to wait? Well, I think in our modern vernacular, we think about waiting. A lot of times when my wife and I are getting, I'm going to get in trouble, but when my wife and I are getting ready to go somewhere, I have to wait on her. And that means that I sit and patiently, just let her finish up whatever she's doing. And then we go and do whatever we're going to do. But I believe the term wait here has more emphasis than just sitting with your hands folded or you're, you know, sitting down in your recliner and rocking away until the right time comes. I think the word wait here is equated to, you know, what a waiter or a waitress does, or if you're waiting on someone with serving them in some capacity. And when he says they that wait upon the Lord, he's not saying those that just sit around, don't do anything, just inactive, just stagnant. It's not saying that God is going to bless that attitude. But he's going to bless those that serve him, that obey him, that live out his word in an active way, that trust in his promises, that trust in his word, like a waiter serving someone. You go to a restaurant and a waiter or a waitress serves you. Or you work for someone and they give you a set of directions and you wait on them and you follow out those directions that they gave you. That's the attitude that we're to have. Those that wait upon the Lord, he says, shall renew their strength. And the word renewal literally means change. Those that serve the Lord, their strength shall be changed. Isn't that wonderful to think about? You know, where do we find ourselves this morning? Are we like Weasley the cat and our eyes are this big and we're just running all over everything and in a constant state of panic and not knowing what to do? Or are we on those eagle's wings soaring above the difficulties of this life? I think a lot of it comes down to are we following the commandments of God? And when we do that, we're enjoying this blessing, this change. It says, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. When we follow God's word in the midst of the most difficult times, he's faithful to change our strength. Because again, the two characters in Isaiah chapter 40, we have the eternal Almighty God, and then we have us that are faint and weary. But I'm thankful those of us that are faint and weary, God is able to bless and renew our strength. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? As God's people, oftentimes, and rightfully so, we recognize that we've been changed by the grace of God. But I'm thankful in the day-to-day activities of life, we can exchange our weakness for his strength when we obey him. We can exchange fear for faith. We can exchange weakness for boldness when we trust in the Lord and wait on him, serve him in spite of the obstacles of life, serve him in spite of the difficulties of life. This is what the Word of God calls us to do. I think in the New Testament, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul, this was the strength that Paul went in. Paul, I don't think any of us have endured anything close to what the Apostle Paul endured. And he did it in the name of the Lord. But notice what Paul says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says this, he says, I am crucified with Christ. If you want to just in a nutshell know what Paul was going through right there. He says, I am crucified with Christ. What do you think when you hear crucifixion? You just think of some of the most horrible trials and tribulations and persecutions that you can imagine. And Paul says this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And what does he say? Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul says here that he says, I live, yet not I. And if you want to understand the strength that we have, it's right there. You know, we're able to soar on the wings of eagles. We're able to run and not be weary. We're able to walk and not faint because as we trust in God, as we obey his word, it's by his spirit, by his strength that we're able to overcome the difficulties of this life. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. All of us as God's people, I'm thankful that we have that blessing before us because of what Jesus Christ did for us. Yeah. And here's something that we constantly have to remember. Whatever we endure in this world, it pales into comparison to what Christ endured for us on the cross. Yeah. And this was Paul's vision statement or mission statement, if you will. Nevertheless, I live. Not yet, not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Again, he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's the strength that we're to go in. You want a vision statement? You want a mission statement? There it is right there. In the midst of COVID, nevertheless, I live, yet not I. In the midst of natural disasters, in the midst of turmoils and uncertainties all around us, nevertheless, I live. What a wonderful blessing that we can do that. We're to wait upon the Lord. Psalmist David, you know, David's strength was not in his ability. It wasn't in his military prowess. It wasn't in the wisdom that he had attained as he was blessed to become king of Israel. David said this in Psalm 62. He says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God." There's that word wait again. He says, "Waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not greatly be moved." And if we understand correctly, the 62nd Psalm was written in the midst of some great distresses in David's life. And in those distresses, he understood that God was the only one that was able to bless him. God was the only one that could give him the strength to go through the difficulties of his life. And notice here that David's waiting upon the Lord wasn't just something out of mere obligation, but David had this desire. He says here, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God." That's the God that we serve. And that's how we ought to wait on God. Desire to wait on Him. "Lord, I'm going to serve You in whatever way You have called me to serve You. I may not understand what I'm going through. I may not understand all the details, but I'm going to trust in You." Wait upon God, my friends. He is the one that will bless us through these times. And He can bless us. And again, we can be a wonderful testimony in the midst of these great difficulties. I trust that our Lord is certainly able, and I pray that He will bless us to fulfill those commandments. We can soar on eagle's wings as God's people.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Mike. Very consoling comfort.